Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so
damn.
Tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses,
damn.
I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33, and today is Friday, September the 9th, of 2016, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat. Excuse me, of the message. I know your time is valuable, I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to kind of continue along the same line, really, as what we've been talking about over the last few shows. But we want to kind of hone in on a different aspect of purpose, fulfilling your destiny, overcoming obstacles, understanding how to identify your payoff by really, really finding your life optimization, really optimizing your life, really, really zoning in and really, really being passionate, really, really establishing a righteous indignation. So righteous indignation is one of those things that people, you know, think is not, I'm not going to say people don't think it's valuable. I just think we don't really understand how valuable it is because we think that righteous indignation for whatever reason is a bad thing, or it's a, you know, has a bad connotation to it. And so let me just put that misnomer to sleep. Like, righteous indignation is the most, one of the most important aspects or characteristics that you can have. Because righteous indignation helps us to get to the point where this whole system that we have been given of duality is not an option. Right now, you have the choice between faith and facts. We all are presented with those two options. We are presented with up and down. We are presented with happy and sad. We are presented with left and right. We live in a world, my brothers and sisters, of duality. But righteous indignation doesn't accept that duality. Righteous indignation is like righteous anger, if you will. So can anger be righteous? So indignation is different than anger. Because how can you have righteous anger? So righteous indignation is retribution. Now, retribution is an interesting word, because anger and contempt, when you combine those two things, because those two things combined produces a feeling that is different from anger. Because when you get faith, as the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart cold. So when you have hope and it's deferred, that's what you have. You're left with a anger. So we need retribution for this anger. So anger and contempt combined. Now, contempt is the feeling that you have regarding, you know, something that is, you know, disappointing, something that is worthless. So when you experience something and it doesn't live up to the hype, then you have this feeling of contempt, meaning that you have an attitude, and this attitude makes you like despicable, and this attitude makes you disrespectful. This attitude makes you arrogant. This attitude makes you cocky. This attitude makes you egocentric. This attitude that you have, my brother, makes you scorned. You feel slighted. You don't feel like, you know, you feel like, you know, you got robbed. I don't know about you, my brothers. I don't know about you, but my sister, but being a black man in America, I feel like I got robbed. I got cheated. I got slighted. Every time I go fill out a job application, every time I go to the freaking bank and fill out something, every time I apply for anything, I feel robbed. I feel cheated. I feel slighted, because I know I'm under a system that endorses, and it is based upon. We just had an incident in San Antonio. Two black girls sitting inside of a restaurant eating a hamburger. A fight breaks out outside of the restaurant that has nothing to do with them. The manager of the restaurant calls the cops and said that they want everybody cleared out. They clear out everybody in the parking lot. Then the cops come inside the restaurant. These girls sitting there, they had nothing to do supposedly with the outside confrontation. The cops say, hey, y'all need to leave. And they say, why? And they say, well, the manager, because now, in the cops' defense, they should have got up and said, yes, we had nothing to do with that, but I understand you're asking us to leave, so we will leave. They said no, because they had nothing to do with it. So they feel slighted, because they had nothing to do with the confrontation that was going on outside. But still, they were punished, or they had something that happened to them. So they want retribution. Now, I don't know about you, brothers. I don't know about you, sisters, but I've lived in both areas. I've lived a life of faith with this religion, or spirituality, and I've lived a life of facts, which is science. And having lived both of those lives, I still feel slighted. I still have this anger or this contempt. I still have a feeling that this is not right. I feel like there's another way. You know, you guys know, every time I'm presented with option A and option B, I always look for option C. That's just, I was born that way, kind of crazy like that. Thankfully, I have that disposition that I always look when somebody say, hey, boy, you know, you need to go, you know, go left or you need to go right, boy. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I need to go left or right. I'm just going to stay right where I'm at. Or I may go up instead of going left or right. I always look for option C. So today's message, we're talking about faith, facts, and what about option C? Let me present option C. Option C is fruit. So this short series, we do two or three, because we want to go through each, and I want to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify why you, my anointed brother, you, my beautiful sister, need to get rid of your version, the King James version of faith that you got. You got to get rid of the Noah Webster's version of facts that you got. And you need to adopt the biblical version of fruit. Because I don't care if you got faith. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Trust me, I've been on that road. Heart pure as gold, bus hell wide open. Faith gets you killed. Now I know what you're saying. I said the same thing. But brother, the scripture says, without faith it's impossible to please God, brother. Yeah. Good luck with that. And then we got these fools like myself, love facts. I'm a fact. I love science, man. I can do science. I can do facts all day, every day, 24/7, 365, because the facts speak for themselves. Until I looked up the definition of the word facts. And that's when my cookies got blown. And I got the righteous indignation all back again. I had just got rid of it. Oh, man. Man, Jay Wealth, hey, homie, I had just got rid of it, man. You know how you feel like, man, you got a monkey on your back, and you get the monkey off your back, you take a deep breath, how my bills are paid. And then you're like, oh, shiznit, I forgot to pay the light bill. You broke as a dope. You paid everything, and you thought everything was done. You're getting ready to go blow some money, go reward yourself, go out to eat, do something or whatever, and you realize, oops, I forgot to pay this bill, and boom, the righteous indignation comes back. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying before we jump knee-deep into the kimchi. Number one, you've been given faith since birth. They told you, go to church, brother. Believe in God. I can't see him. No, you ain't got to see him. You have faith in God. Didn't they tell you that? They never broke down whether it was God, Gad, or Good. Did anybody break that down for you? Now I did the show. So hopefully you already know the difference now. But they go to church and they tell you, God, Gad, or Good are all the same. You got to have faith. And then I left the church, turned my back on the church. January the 1st, 2009, I was like, bump, y'all, man. Y'all full of, I ain't doing that no more. Then I started getting me some facts. I went into science. Man, I got into biology. I got into, you know, the Kabbalah. I started researching Sufism and perennialism. Man, I started getting into some deep kimchi. I broke down astrophysics. I got into astrobiology, and then I got into theobiology, and I broke down the biology of God. Oh, man, you can tell me nothing. I have facts, brother. God, I can prove biologically the existence of God. I can prove mathematically the existence of God. I had my facts lined up. You can tell me nothing. But guess what? Oh, man, I hate to admit it. I ain't had no fruit. Nada. Zip. So they're presenting you option A and option B. They don't even put option C on the table. Let's go back to the garden. Remember the garden? Slewy Louie shows up and says, Adam, really he talked to Eve, says, look at the tree. Now on this tree you got options. Well, let me present to you the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You get one tree, and guess what? You got a twofer. You buy one, get one free. So Eve said, shit, man, that's a good deal, homie. Why don't I sign up for that program? So the devil never presented. You know there's four other trees in the garden? Nobody talks about the other trees. There was a tree that was good for sight. There was a tree that was good for food. That was good for taste. And then there was the tree of life. But we only preach and talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But there was four trees in the garden, homie. And so everybody tells me, well, brother, we live in a world of duality. I don't live in that world. Because that world got me to where I'm at right now. And where I'm at, this is not a good place. Now, I know, compared to a lot of folk, I'm doing pretty good. Absolutely. But you see, my heart is not singing. It did once, but the song in my heart is gone. I'm going to get it back. You see, brothers, there's a place where your heart skips. You're like a kid on Christmas Day. Every day you wake up with your heart whistling Dixie. And the righteous indignation, which is the desire for retribution, is gone. You see, right now, you probably got some righteous indignation in your heart. You got anger plus contentment. That means something happened. You don't know why. See, you put your faith in something. You put your faith in someone. You put your faith in some place, and they let you down. Or you did like me. You got your facts together, and you put your facts, and you read history, and then you realize somebody rewrote it. I never looked at who Noah Webster was. Did you? So our dictionary was written by this dude. And I challenge any Reverend Dr. Bishop, just Google, who is Noah Webster? Just look it up. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you really want to know how deep the rabbit trail goes. So any book, any definition you got, anything that you can present, any facts, you know they can carbon date stuff. So you got why did they magically discover the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947? Right around the time that the biblical prophecy said that the new Israel were going to be performed. I don't know if you understand. Let me see if I can put this down for you. So Noah Webster, right, he is this dude. And pretty much every English word that we got, this dude has something to do with the formation of the word. And again, to cast a spell, one must spell. So whoever puts the letters in order, you might want to check out that person who's put the letters in order, because that person basically is creating your life. So Noah Webster, again, was one of and is one of the most dangerous dudes on the planet yet. Because it's not about Noah Webster, it's who's his daddy. Who was John Webster? And who was Mercy Steele, who became Mercy Steele Webster, the descendant of William Bradford? So Noah Webster establishes the terms and the definitions that you use. And we know nothing about Noah Webster. Now, this show isn't about Noah Webster, because Noah Webster, he was an expert in what they call blue-back spelling or speller. He was a blue-back speller. Want to blow your cookies? Look at that one. So why do we do spelling bees in school? Why are they called spelling bees? See, the speller was originally titled the first part of the Grammatical Institute of the English Language. There's over 385 editions of this book. That's called the American Spelling Book, 29. This is the foundation of what they call blue back spelling, a blue back speller. It establishes everything that is taught to you and I. It changed, again, the tongue and the pronunciation. It changed the T-O-N-G-U-N to T-U-N-G. And that's another study for another time, but it established what is called grammaria and grammatus, or it re-emphasized broken down or enochian. So why am I saying all of that? Because you got retribution. You want retribution. Now, retribution, again, means you want payback. You want something to happen to you. So you want somebody to be punished. You want punishment for, you want to see justice. You want judgment. You want to see retaliation. You want repayment. You want revenge. Why? You want retribution. But why do you want retribution? The reason that you want retribution is because you got righteous indignation. So why do you have righteous indignation? You have righteous indignation because you either have faith or you have facts, and you put it in a person, place, or a thing that we call a noun, and that person, that place, or that thing let you down, so you got righteous indignation. Now, I'm not reading something I read of a book. I've had it quite a bit. In fact, quite often, pretty much most of my life. That's why I know that it's a dangerous thing, because this righteous indignation, this anger and contentment combined together, you need both. If you just got anger, you're good. The Bible says, be angry, sin not. So have anger. It's a good thing. Anger, nothing wrong with anger. But if you got anger plus contentment, yeah, we got a problem now. Because those things combined, because, see, not contentment, but contempt, C-O-N-T-E-M-P, contempt. What is contempt? State of being despised or disgraced. Now, it's a feeling of disdain. It's a feeling of being scorned. It's a feeling of feeling worthless. See, the devil's job is to get you into that place. He has to. That's the only trick. He's a one-trick pony. But that trick is so powerful. That fool don't need no other tricks. I mean, he been playing me for 50 plus years, so they worked on me. I mean, that ain't saying too much, but man. So you got contempt. How did you get it? Because you went to church, or you went to something, or you met a woman, or you met a man, or you got a job, and you worked your butt off for that job. You gave your life to that company, and then they called you to the office one day and said, hey, you know, we have layoffs. You said, hold up, man. I've been with this company 10 years, man. They did, let me tell you what they did to me. So, you know, your grandmother's getting sick, so you go and visit your grandmother, and you're a minister at the church, so you got to miss a few Sundays because you got to drive home to see your family. And you come to that church, then bills start, you know, getting a little steep. So, you know, instead of tithing, you know, you pay your bills. Then they call you in there, and, you know, pastor, hey, brother, you know, we know you've been missing a few Sundays. And, you know, everything okay. Well, no, my grandmother's sick. Well, you know, the Bible says that the dead bury the dead. Well, she ain't dead yet. Well, she on her way, ain't she? Yeah, but that's my grandmother, okay? And but you got work to do here, brother. And we also noticed that you haven't tithed the last couple of Sundays. You know, we like that $900 check you paid. We need to keep that rolling. So what's up with your tithes? Well, you know, I got some bills. You know, I do got a family of five. And, you know, got some children. They growing up. I need to, you know, hey, got to take care of my children. Come first, because if you don't tithe, you know, you're going to be cursed with a curse. Really? Why did they say that? Oh, Book of Malachi. Or they didn't read that the tithe had to do with fruits, and first fruits had nothing to do with monetary stuff. Now, I'm not saying you should give. Actually, New Testament says all of it's God's, not just 10% of it. And so they said, well, brother, you know, until you get, you know, your life together, we're going to go ahead and take your collar. We just need you to sit down with the regular folks in the audience, you know, and you know, if you don't even want to come to church, that's okay too. And also, we would just appreciate it if you would not, you know, fellowship with the other members. Because, you know, you're kind of like, you know, a bad example. And, you know, we don't want, you know, how that old saying, you know, one bad apple spoils a whole bunch of fun. So we don't want that, you know, bad vibe, that bad spirit you got. Yeah, we don't want that spirit to affect everybody else that's under, you know, our charm. So I said, so what you saying, you know, sir? Well, we're just saying, you know, hey, take some time off. Go take care of your family. You say your grandmother's sick, right? Take as much time as you need. I started seeing people in church. I mean, at the grocery store, I go to H-E-B, and they say, hey, man, our pastor said that we can't fellowship with you no more. Why? I mean, I don't know, man. They just said, I'm sorry, you know, but hold up, man. Me and you was friends before. You know, our children, we used to hang out together, and we used to cook. We used to clean. We used to go play football, pick up game of basketball. We used to work out. Man, we was like boys, you know. What's up? well, you know, the pastor said, you know, that, you know, we can't hang out with you no more. Really? So y'all want to talk about righteous indignation? That's just one example. I got a, how much time y'all got? Yeah, we could be talking here for a while. So righteous indignation, brother and sister, is when you put your trust and your faith into a system, and that system lets you down. Now, you get facts. Nobody told me. Now, I would ask or encourage everybody to look up the definition of the word, because when the reality of the facts, and we're going to break this down further. I'm just, this is the info today. We're going to get deep in this to this, you know, tomorrow and or Monday. So I just decided, hey, what is a fact? Because I got fact. I have scientific facts. And I backed up all my research, all my books, everything I had with facts. In fact, I was so confident that I put out a challenge to any Reverend Dr. Bishop. Call me, man. I put my phone number out there. I say, I'll take all comers. I don't care. So a fact is something that actually happened. A fact is something that exists. A fact is reality, something that is real. A fact is truth. That's what I thought the definition of the word. Then I went down to the bottom of the page, and I read the definition of the word fact. And then I read it. Let me read it to you in case you never read it. Word origin, word history, fact, 1530. Fact. Evil deed, from the Latin word factum, means event or occurrence, literally thing done. Fact means to do, see fictitious. So the word fact comes from the word factitious. It's an evil deed done. It's an evil deed, or it's a thing known to be true. Doesn't say it has to be true. It is known to be true. See, the devil hides in the details. Now remember, fact, it says, if you want to know the true definition of the word, now remember, I'm a researchologist. I'm an etymologist. I research the etymology of each word five levels deep. So I look at the definition of the word fact, then I look at that definition. I look at that definition, I look at that definition. I go five levels deep on everything that I present. So I look at the word fact, and then it said, hey, see this word, fact. Factitious. So I looked up that word, factitious. That said artificial rather than natural. Oh, what? Artificial? So the word fact is an evil deed that is artificial? Hold up, man. Comes from a Sanskrit word? Comes from old Swedish? It's a Gothic, German, Polish term? So facts have nothing really to do with the natural process of a thing. Instead, facts come from the word factitious, has to do with the word artificial rather than natural. So it's an artificial truth. So, hey, I'm an etymologist. Let's look at the word artificial. The word artificial means not made by human skill, not produced. It's opposed to natural. It is the opposite. It's an imitation. What the? So I got facts. It's an assembled together of synthetic or imitation. Now, I'm taking this right out of the... Now, the word artificial comes from... Now, again, we're going five levels deep. Synthetic, counterfeit. The word origin of the word artificial, we see the word artifice from the Latin word artificum. Basically, artifice, A-R-T-I-C-F-I-C-E. So, again, we've got to look at that word. It means a clever trick or stratagem. Now, brothers and sisters, I've done a 10-hour series on one word, stratagem. That's Lucifer, the greatest strategist in the history of mankind. So, you can have facts. I got it. You can have faith. Like I did. Now, I do fruit. I don't give a rip what kind of faith you got. I don't give a flying banana what kind of facts you got. You ain't got no fruit. We can't talk. I don't do facts. I don't do faith. I do fruit. Because, see, everybody is selling those tickets, and I was buying them. I got some left over if anybody want to buy mine. If you want faith, I can sell it to you. If you want facts, I can sell that to you. But when you're ready to get some fruit in your life, some biblical fruit, which we're going to break down mañana, call me. Because, brothers and sisters, what you have right now in your life is a clever trick or stratagem. It is cunning, crafty. Who is the most cunning? The Bible said he was the most cunning of all creatures. So inside of the series called The Vatican Deception, I'm breaking down what they call dog Latin. So the Vatican rewrote the English language for dogs, and they presented it, and they turned it around, and they told it, they gave it to you, and they said it was God. Look at the word dog, D-O-G, turn it around, you have the word God. Now, that's what they think of you. Now, they think you are a Goyim, G-O-Y-I-M. That's what Jews call anybody that's not a Jew. A Goyim. What is a Goyim? A dog. So they got a language for you. It's called Pig Latin. Remember growing up with the kids, you was called Pig Latin? And we used to speak it? We was kids in the hood. We weren't talking to speak. Clever, cunning. And then it's trickery. It's guile. It is, how was Eve? Eve was what? Beguiled. That's what facts are. Facts are beguilement. I wish I could break down the word stratagem, but I know if I start talking about that, man, yeah, we're going to blow through this whole little, 30 minutes like it ain't nothing. So let's break down the word artifice, which again, besides all the other words that I've just mentioned, it's a trick. It is deceitful. It is cunning. Combination of two words, art and vice. It's a clever trickery. It is a device. It is something that is ingenious. It is the workmanship. It is the making of anything by craft or a skill. And this word, again, means clever device, cunning device. And, again, the last word, if we was to look at that, of that word, trick, device, cunning, we could really look up all of them. It's basically a thing that's presented to you, but it's an invention. It's a crafty scheme that is presented to you in a particular word pattern, figure of speech, or combination of words or sound. Device. That's what a fact is. See, nobody told me that, brother, when I got my facts together. One of the facts, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Discovered America in 1492. Anybody ever research that fact? Now, is that a fact? I hope y'all know that Columbus did not discover America. I don't know what he discovered, but it wasn't America. But that was presented as fact to you at one time. Another fact that was presented to me at one time, that, hey, bacon is good for you. They say bacon is good, homie. Eat it. Nothing wrong with sugar. Sugar is good. Those were facts that was presented to me. But those facts are not based upon truth because they don't have to be. Because according to the definition of the word, a fact does not have to be true. It is just known. It is known. So everybody just kind of know it to be true. Nobody stopped and researched to see if it is true. So the devil never lies to you. The devil lies by omission. Because he knows you ain't going to ask. He knows you're not going to ask the detailed question. Now, I was taught this when I worked in a supermax prison. How do inmates pass lie detector tests? Because they know that the person asking the questions are not going to ask the right questions, so they're not going to get the right answers. The only reason you're listening to this call, the only reason you're not sipping pina coladas on the beach, the only reason you're not living high off the hog, the only reason you're not standing, staring truth in the face is because you're asking the wrong questions and you're getting the wrong answers. So take a pause that we talked about yesterday, power pause. Examine yourself. Change your line of questioning. Ask specific, detailed questions to the universe. Put on your Christ consciousness, your quantum. God, Jesus says, I'm not in this world, but I'm not of this world. Jesus says, my Father. They said, where is he at? He said, my Father is not in this world. Jesus always was other dimensional. I cannot find nowhere in the Helios Biblios where Yahushua got local answers. He always went to the garden hours after he healed somebody, he said he got he snuck away, got in the boat, she sailed over to the other side. What was he doing over there? He always would pull away because he had to tap into the source that's not on this dimension. That's quantum consciousness. I'm really praying about and debating whether I should change my whole organization from Christ Consciousness Metaphysical Assembly to Quantum Consciousness Metaphysical Assembly. Because that's what I do. I don't do faith. I don't do facts. I do fruit. In order for you to get fruit, you need quantum consciousness. You got to go outside of this realm to get the answers to your questions. And the way that you do that is to simply ask, seek, knock. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened for you. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. But by asking, that means that you have understanding. See, God knows if you cannot ask the right question, you're not worthy of the right answer. Remember, you have in your hands physically what you contain in your mind mentally. Right now, look at your life. What you have in your life is what you got in your brain. If you want to change what you got in your life, change what's in your brain. Don't stop doing nothing. Keep going to work. Keep mowing the grass. Keep doing whatever you're doing. But if you want fruit, change what you got in your brain. Change the way you think. Bring every thought into captivity and see if it is of the grantor of destiny. Does your thoughts line up with the movement of your destiny? If not, get rid of it. Does the thought of whatever you get ready to do today, does it take you in the direction of your destiny? If it does not, get rid of it. So tomorrow we're going to break this down just a little bit further. I got a couple of more nuggets we want to drop down on biblical fruit, because this, again, according to the Hebrew, again, is a very deep word. I need to make sure that you understand how that we are going to produce, take our spiritual action and make that action bear fruit in our heart so that way it can manifest in our hands. My brothers, my sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert you, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you might snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Like a dreamer in a spell.
worse than they beating them in jail. I don't know what you been saying, but my vision is to fail. Cause this dreaming is the reason I ain't breathing with this hell. They said I wanna go and run and gun it with the team. They come up with a ghetto getting money grubbing scheme. I know it's just a dream, cause brothers gotta wake up. It's all about the presentation when you about to take stuff. Delusions, dreams, it really doesn't matter. You better get your energy and put it in the ladder. Life is just a chance for you to show what you made out of. Life is just a chance for you to show.
Oh, but you can't.
Huh?
Cause you're still dreaming, man.
Still dreaming.